Blog Talk Radio.
Three-minute warning.
DFL, baby!
Tired of sitting on the sidelines? Want to be part of the game?
Be radical. The CFL is back and more radical than ever. The action never stops. It's hard-hitting, high-scoring football. Get in the game. Wear the ad.
Come on, go, go, go!
Be a fit. Be radical. CFL football. Get in the game.
You ever love popcorn?
You know what being down by 20 at halftime means?
Sweet, diddly, jack, squat!
Why? Because you can storm back.
I know it, you know it, they
tucked into their little beds tonight. They don't want to be haunted by you crossing that goal line.
But it's time to give them a nightmare. And cross it!
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Candid Frank, the CFL is the best football in the world show. I'm Frank, the true double blue Argo lifer Stanishi and the host of the show. Please welcome our co-hosts and friends of the show, Mike, the CFL is the best football in the world Townsend and future owner, Manasseh, harder to find than Waldo Gibber-Medin, Christopher, let's talk CFL and Lions Den Jones, Kelly, CFL know-it-all Bale, Bruce, the 13th man John Inch, Aaron, another. Enough with the posting Macintosh. Gary, is it rock season yet, Groob? Stevie, the what else can I buy in Argo colors Richardson? Rob, the pistol J. Emery. Storm takes no Schmidt. Bill and Liam, the world travelers and how. Serge, the CFL season ticket hoarder and collector Duvidien. Derek, the bomber boot Christopher. Kevin, Cheryl, and Cuddly Clan Kingsley. Kim, watch out boys Weaver. Debbie Riders, rule regardless Wormspecker. Donna, I will admin ya Gale. Aaron William, the meathead Freeland. Jarrett, the roadie and box J Boy Harris. Leanne, Leafs girl, what am I doing here, hockey? Steve, rock and roll Myers. Mike, Keeble, Cable, Cancellera. Reddit, retweet the show CFL every time. Aaron Russell, the organizer, Nagy. Doug, look at the big lens and say cheese Lewis. Joe, I'm a like a Tulisan to the show Sardella. Danny E, likes caring for elderly. Salonen. Spike, I will nail you Sutherland. Andrew, the graphic illustrator, Crump. Frank, the mascot, Kirby. Tony, I wish I could agree with you, Frank Dejeuner. Becca, I will deadlift you, Veludo. Tangerine, I have a dream queen. Annette and Paul, that's my beautiful son, Jason Pottinger. And finally, Randy, Captain Video Christinger.
We're the Argo Cheerleaders, and you're listening to the Candace Frank Live Show.
We're the Argo Cheerleaders,
and you're listening to the Candace Frank Live Show.
Yay!
Woo. Go Frank! Go Frank!
I will go. I'll do what it takes to get the show on the road. We want to thank all of you for tuning in that are tuning in. And, you know, there requires a lot of dedication to listen to this program because you have to chase it. A lot of people text me and message me about how difficult it is to listen to the show, to call the show, how expensive it is to call the show. Well, to minimize the expense, message me on Facebook, Frank Stanishi. You know, now that I changed the name back to my name, it makes it kind of harder for me to do what I used to do. But, you know, sometimes we have to go back to our roots. And since my roots are getting gray, this is the way it goes. So let's talk about football. And so call me, text me. If you know somebody that knows me, they'll give you my name, and you'll be able to message me and ask me to give you a call. We're working on, and I got to look into this 1-800 number thing, and the members of the group, and maybe that's what we're going to end up doing, is we're going to have a membership drive. All right, for us it won't be a membership drive. It'll be a membership cycle. Like a circus clown, you know, with six people on a bicycle. So anyway, the football week. Week 9. I was amazed. I was totally amazed. Let's start with Saskatchewan. The bold and sassy Riders, of course, proved that they're in high gear, making the team in BC, otherwise known as the Lions, Christopher Jones's team, look like kitties, not lions. There will be free tickets available for anybody who's a BC fan who was at the gate or went through the gate or at the game or held a ticket for that game.
it will multiply now, just like, you know, go forth and multiply. The tickets have gone forth and they have multiplied. They've doubled. And hopefully that's what will happen. There'll be twice as many people the next game, which will be awesome. BC Place, lovely place to watch a football game. Was this game in doubt? Absolutely. From our Saskatchewan perspective, they did what needed to be done, and they continue to be on a roll, a team that started slowly and now seems to have gone in stride. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers, Nick Grigsby, scored on a run. And, of course, it held up throughout the rest of the game, putting, of course, Winnipeg in the win column and against a tough defensive Alouettes team. So, you know, they did pretty good. Jonathan Crompton was at quarterback, and he had a great game in the loss. We've seen Montreal quarterbacks play well at first. Will this be a steadily improving Jonathan Crompton, or will he be another version of the Montreal Alouette quarterbacking core that has found itself starting fast and ending slowly? We have a Montreal fan in today. Serge Dupletien is here, and we can get his perspective on the status in Montreal. But as a Montreal fan, you have to be very satisfied with the Montreal defense. Now, when it comes to playoff time, if they happen to make the playoffs, one can rely on defense far more than they can on offense. They have a stifling defense, and it is very effective, and could be trouble for any team that meets them in the playoffs, Argos. The Calgary Stamp. Well, you know what? Let's go in the other half of that game that Saskatchewan. Let's talk about BC a little bit. Well, what can you say other than, oops, free tickets for Lion patrons for the next game? Well, I mean, you know, I didn't give Christopher and sadly, and I apologize at this point, Christopher and Kelly didn't get their opportunity to talk about this big game, you know, that was coming up, Saskatchewan and British Columbia. I apologize, gentlemen. Calgary Stampeders, Cornish was back. As was the stellar defense that overcame an early battle to distance themselves from the Ottawa group. And unfortunately, in the final four minutes of the game for Ottawa. Ottawa is still looking for another win since their opener, and it appears being a new franchise in the week east has not, you know, been something the RBs can capitalize in Ottawa. See what I did there? Capitalize on in Ottawa. Ottawa's the capital of Canada. The Edmonton Eskimos. Has there been a more consistent team in the league this year? I don't think so. I think this has been the most consistent team there is in the CFL. They have not jumped out crazily to begin with, but they have not floundered for any length of time. You know, as a non-quick starter or a non-slow starter during this 14 season, they've been very consistent. Then, in the game against the Toronto Argonauts this past weekend, Riley gets hurt on the first play. And finally, folks, this is something I was saying last year, and I will continue to say this year, Matt Nichols, after two devastating injuries in 12 and 13, finally gets to show what many already knew in Edmonton. Prior to Riley establishing himself as the number one quarterback, Matt Nichols was toe-to-toe with Riley. So as far as I'm concerned, best quarterback tandem in the CFL, which puts a little thumb on the scale of victory in the Grey Cup, if they make it to the Grey Cup. Nothing helps more than having two really good quarterbacks that you can go to in a Grey Cup game. Am I predicting that Edmonton will be in the Grey Cup? I guess I am. I guess that's what I'm saying. The thing is, there are no Edmonton fans on the show. So I guess I can sort of sit in as an Edmonton fan and you know, basically say that. So that leaves us with two teams. We've talked about Saskatchewan, Winnipeg, Calgary, Edmonton, British Columbia, Montreal, Ottawa. That leaves us with Toronto and Hamilton. The two teams that will be playing each other on Labor Day. Or the following day, Tuesday, from what I understand. And we'll get into that with Bruce John Inch, who's had his ear to the ground as far as Tim Bitts Field is concerned. So the Hamilton Tiger Cats had a bye, so they didn't lose this week. They didn't win this week. They basically maintained their ground in the CFL East, whereas the Argonauts, as we mentioned earlier, lost to the Edmonton Eskimos. This is a team that cannot stop the ground attack, whether it be running back, kickoff, punt return. They cannot stop consistently the run. I think it's just an overcommitment by the defense. The aggressiveness that they show leaves them prone to an error by, let's say, a linebacker or a safety in jumping too far in front. Ahead leaves a lot of angle and space, or space and angle, depending on how you look at it. So Owens came back into the game, and he was a big part of the Argos in their second half comeback, but unfortunately he got hurt again, or still. I'm not sure which it is, but we'll find out. The experts that are on the phone right now will ensure that we know all the right answers to all the right questions. You're listening to Candid Frank Live. This is the CFL is the best football in the world, show number 204. That's right, show number 204. Let's say hello to the people that will be on the program with us tonight, and we'll start with the 13th man in Hamilton, Bruce John Inch. Bruce, welcome to the program. Oh, wait, this is Kelly Bale. I apologize.
Hey, Frank, how you doing?
Good, good, good. I got my phone numbers mixed up.
Yeah, no worries.
You moved
sure
up the list.
Like whatever.
No. You just moved up the list. I called Bruce first.
But you
I don't know how you did it, but you moved up the list.
I'm flattered.
And you should be.
Yeah.
So, listen, I owe you an apology. I saw a message the next day in the morning. No, I'm not worried about it, but I truly didn't mean anything by it, and it's not nice to do something like that in a great moment that a guy might have. If you were to have predicted what was going to happen, is what you would have predicted happened? Did it happen, what you predicted?
Yes. I predicted essentially a close victory, and that's what we came out with. I knew it would be hard-fought, but I thought there would be a little more score, to be honest, and... Yeah, I was kind of shocked by how well both defenses performed. So we'll get into that later.
Yeah, we will. Did Davey like the game?
He did, yeah. He was mostly interested in hanging out with his buddies and playing video games and such. But, you know, I mean, he zooms in and does a rider cheer or, you know, something like that anyway and keeps us entertained.
Yeah, and that's sort of kind of his job. Thank you for joining us. Also with us tonight from the great province of Quebec in Montreal, our friend and the gracious loaner or giver of tickets to Frank so he could go to the Ottawa opening, Serge Duvletien. Serge, good evening to you, sir.
Good evening. Been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while that you've graced us with your presence. Or you've surged us with your presence.
Yes, surge.
I feel a surge coming on.
The Jays surged in the ninth, but they're trailing in the tenth.
Right. They're done like dinner, as Tiger Williams used to say.
So I'm still going Sunday to the Jays, see Derek Jeter one last time in Canada, before I go to, Hamilton, supposedly, unless there's a... Well, there's still time to cancel my hotel if it doesn't work out Monday.
We're coming up to Bruce. Bruce has some very interesting information that would pertain to your planning in a direct way.
To you guys, we were F-bombing all over the place. But
That was just off the air.
Oh, sure. Whatever.
I think it was off the air. Was it on the air?
I don't know. I heard it all. But the bottom line is, it's day-to-day. We don't know anything. Saturday, Sunday to cancel, so that's it.
Do you think it would have been better? Are you one of those people that falls on the side of, if they weren't 100% sure that the stadium would be ready for this year, should have they just said, we'll do it next year?
The
Winnipeg
way.
The Winnipeg way they did it.
Winnipeg had their old stadium. They could play there while they were, Hamilton shot themselves in the foot when they destroyed the stadium before making the new one. So, can I say?
Yeah, because they were planning on making it the exact same place. That's kind of difficult to, you know, to do both.
Yeah.
So that's kind of difficult. Yes, I look forward to the game, which we'll discuss in a little while. And Serge, welcome to the program. Montreal Alouettes, your defense looks outstanding. You have to be happy with that. Crompton looked
great
pretty
defense,
good too.
But sometimes when there's a key drive, it, you know, doesn't, I don't know. There's always this key drive that they just can't stop when it's, I know it's a lot to ask, but it's always the same old stories. But I'm confident with Crompton. I like him. I think he's got a good shot. And you're playing Ottawa in a short week. There's no better. I mean, you know, I think Montreal, they're hungry. They're ready. Higgins has got his head on the chopping block right now. And all the signs are there for Montreal victory Friday. And if they don't.
Yeah, the good news is we're not playing the West for a while.
Yeah, that's right. We're not.
Right? So we can start churning some victories. Somebody's got to win when the East plays the East.
Well, somebody's going to fall 1-8, and if the Argos were to fall to Hamilton, then that 1-8 team will still just be a game and a half out of first place.
Exactly. It's a long season, and there aren't that many wins had in the East. Right, Bruce?
Oski wee wee. You're absolutely it. Like we said, we're all playing Eastern teams this week. So now it comes down to crunch time. Who's got the bigger balls?
That's right, and who has more to show for what they've
done? Exactly, you know, this is what we've been waiting for, Labor Day and everything after.
Well, this is when it all starts to matter, right?
You know,
this is when the grind. These are the days when we establish who really is a Grey Cup contender.
Well, especially when all every team is like right there, close. Like, you know, when we win on Monday against you guys, you'll only be one game ahead. So,
yeah, understood.
Yeah, it's all going to be
said three
real
games
close
ahead,
to the
right?
Finish.
We would be three games ahead, right? When we win.
But you won't. But that's it. But
oh,
you know,
we won't. Okay. Well,
not, no,
we'll let the game decide.
Depends, man.
That.
If the game's Monday or Tuesday, you know,
whoever's
houses it is, man, they got the better.
Hey, listen. Give us you know what? Let me say hello, and then the first thing we'll do, we'll talk about Timbits Field and all that. Who do we have on the fifth line? I know it's somebody that we've had before. I'm just not sure who.
Hi, Frank. It's Tammy.
Hey, Tammy. I knew it was somebody that I knew. So,
how are you?
So, good. So, Tammy, Winnipeg won.
Yeah, I guess.
How are you doing anyway?
Doing great.
Good,
yeah,
good,
it was
good.
Horrible first half, right? Terrible.
There you go. All right, we'll start the show by discussing Timbit Field, and I haven't seen any other Facebook. I'm waiting for Christopher is going to be on. He's just going to be on a little later. He has he's at the airport.
Yes.
And yeah, he's at the airport, so he'll show up as soon as he can. All right, so let's talk about Timbits Field first, and you have all the information that people need to know, Bruce.
You mean Burger King Field?
Yeah,
I heard it was good at
Yeah. Oh, that's terrible.
Tim Hortons, you can go get a Whopper now.
Yeah, well, before it was Wendy's, right? What are they going to do, move all the Wendy's and move the Burger Kings in?
Probably, that's what they'll do. Yeah, that'd be my guess, because there's not too many I know there's one out in Ancaster that has a Timmy's and Wendy's together.
That's irony of
the
irony.
The only one I can think of.
Irony of irony. This past week, just a couple of days ago, right, Carolyn? We went to Burger King.
Wow.
Last week, we just went to Burger King. First time in years. And I like the Whopper. It's the hamburger from my heritage. It's the Whopper.
There you go.
Different Whopper. Different Whopper. So Timbits Field, Tim Horton Field, there are some questions as to whether it will be ready for Labor Day.
Supposedly.
The Ducks aren't in a row, and as a former construction person, I can assure you the biggest problem is going to be getting the certifications. All the nice little rings need to put their little stamp on the work that has been done, safety, fire protection, heating and ventilation, electrical, all those engineers have to give approval for the work being done, and then they offer those approvals to the city, who in turn give the stadium the green light to open and accept visitors, customers, etc. And that's what's holding things up on a technical in a technical way for those of you that don't know how construction right. works. And even if it does open, you said that in fact the upper bowl beneath the media area
on the west side
on the west side won't be open, even
exactly.
if the game is played
there. That's right. Now they came out with that last week, telling us that, and they halted all Ticketmaster sales apparently, because as you know, we have between 15 and 18,000 season ticket holders. So they made a guarantee to the season ticket holders that everybody that had a ticket in their hand as of last week would be have a seat at Timbit Field. Now today, Bob Young and our good mayor Britannia, they held a press conference at 2:45 on
Britannia. Bob Britannia.
Britannia.
Thank
well,
you.
he'll be okay. Either way. I lost my thought now. Yeah, they had
I'm
a
sorry.
Press conference. No, that's okay. They had a press conference, and Bob Young, more or less, it was about a concert that is going to be held at Tim Hortons Field on September 27th, featuring Keith Urban and Darius Rucker. So as far as that is concerned, they have already paid them $1 million to come to Hamilton. So if this field isn't ready by then he's out $1 million. But getting to the game on Monday, he wasn't really prepared to make a statement on that. One of the CH and whatever you call them,
journalists. Okay.
Natalie McConey, she started grilling them, which was good. And he said, as far as he is concerned, he will be there at 1 o'clock on Monday to welcome fans, and gates will be open at 11 a.m. There was talk of a contingency plan that's been in the works that was tweeted out by a Hamilton Spectator reporter stating that if the stadium isn't ready for Monday's game at 1 o'clock, then the game will be on Tuesday out in Argoland at the Sky Dome, Rogers Center, whatever you want to call it, at 7:30. What I've also heard is Bob Young stating that the Ticats will start practice at Timbit Field on Wednesday, and he'll be there for that. And as far as he knows, that there is no compromising on this. This is a for sure thing on Monday that will be in Tim Hortons Field. But like I said, they do have a contingency plan, and actually the Rogers Center is the third one. The second contingency plan is that there was only a couple of tweaks that they had to make Monday that they weren't able to do in time, and they can do it by Tuesday. Then the game will be held because our lights are working. The lights are on right now, and they're supposedly working around the clock. So they do have lights on the field. That's right. So they can hold it, actually, they said, on Tuesday night down here at Tim Hortons Field. And if it's still not a go, then it will be held out on Tuesday night in Toronto. But so we, as fans, we really don't know, man. You know, we'll be in town by the owner of the Ticats. That's what I'm going by. I will see you at 1 o'clock at Tim Hortons Field. As far as he's concerned.
Let's all hope that's where it is. Serge
I really
is
hope
for
it
that
is.
As well.
Like
Serge,
I said,
you'll be there for
the
that
West,
game as well, right?
What's that?
If it's there on Serge? Monday, yeah. If it's on Tuesday,
yeah.
No.
There you go.
What's that? I didn't hear what you said, Frank.
Oh, okay, Serge is going to be there on Monday. If the game
okay,
is
great,
pushed to
great.
Tuesday, regardless of where... Serge has to head back to Montreal or basically cancel hotel
right,
and stuff.
Right. Well, apparently the city and the infrastructure on Ontario and the Ticats have a meeting tomorrow morning to discuss this, and we should have something in the press by tomorrow afternoon, I'm assuming, because this is going to tell them exactly what needs to be done by Monday in order for this place to open up. And according
and
to Bob Young,
they're
all
priority.
Minor things. And yep, and the stadium will be open at 11 o'clock. The gates open Monday.
This is all about paperwork. At the very end, construction is very dominated by paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
Approvals and signatures of the people who drew up the plans.
Mm-hmm. I want to, since we're on air and there's millions and millions of the CFL fans listening in right now, I would like to go on record and say this is not Bob Young's fault. This is not the Ticats' fault. This has to do with infrastructure in Ontario, the contractors, and the city of Hamilton. And that's all. I'll leave it at that. Bob Young is an amazing owner. He has gone above and beyond what an owner has to really do, okay? Like I said, we have had no price increase in our season tickets in 3 years now. He's accommodating us fans as season ticket holders to the best of his ability, and the money's all coming out of his pocket, guys. You know, I feel bad for him. You know, I just hope the stadium will be ready, as he says, come 11 o'clock Monday morning, the gates will open. If not, then I think we're going to have a lot of upset fans, and it's not his fault. But, you know, it is what it is, man. I can't do anything about it. I know my seat's ready in the Lower West Bowl. I know the turf is in. That's all I care. Let's play some football.
In our
Give
case,
me a construction hat if needed.
Football.
I'll sit there. I don't care.
I got a few
I'm ready.
Extra.
I'm
I got ready. A few
I, you know, I'm sure it'd be nice to have the stadium 100% done. It would look good on TV. We're not going to be laughed at, but you know what? I don't care. I've been laughed at enough. A couple more laughs won't kill me.
Well, I like your attitude, and I happen to think that most Hamilton fans feel the same way. I think most people realize that this stadium was built on, you know, not because of Bob Young's generosity or richness, if I can say that. It was built because Bob Young has spent enough money to keep the team going, and he didn't have the money to build a new stadium. And really, there's no business plan. There was no business plan for him that showed that he could afford to build a stadium. So they joined up, of course, with you know, our Commonwealth Games bid, which
right.
You know, brought the Commonwealth Games here to Southern Ontario, which you're taking part, and you, I mean Hamilton. And so they've taken advantage of that situation. And unfortunately, let's be honest, the Commonwealth people are driving the bus here. The CFL is just a passenger. The CFL is a passenger in the building of this stadium. We are a beneficiary, no doubt. You know, we benefit from this long term. But there's going to be, apparently, and there has been, some short-term suffering. And hopefully people will be able to look beyond this when the time comes. And when everything finally is the way it should be, we'll forget about all this.
That's exactly what's
going to
happen.
And
nobody will be
talking
about this.
We won't care anymore.
There might
be a
few next year talking about it, but 5 years from now, this will all be forgotten.
On the bad news front,
we'll still be playing in a world-class stadium.
I hope our tickets are in the lower bowl. I've already
put
a deposit.
If you have tickets that have already been purchased in the Western Upper Bowl, you will be accommodated.
Well, they've been purchased, but not necessarily in the Western Upper Bowl. I don't know that for a fact.
But what I'm saying
is if they are, you will be okay.
You're okay. They would have sent you or whoever got you the tickets an email by now.
Yeah, and somebody would have said, and Lori would have said, hey, Frank, we don't have tickets now.
Exactly. Well, you would still have tickets. They'd just be somewhere else.
Oh, okay, so it would be moved.
If you purchased a ticket, for you are guaranteed a seat in that stadium.
I put a deposit down on a ticket. Well, I probably paid for the ticket already.
Right.
The bus and such is all additional, and I haven't paid the full freight for the thing, for this whole thing. But I'll find out from Lori hopefully shortly. We get refunded or we get tickets, or we get tickets. And we may not do the bus thing. It may be just here's your tickets and away you go. That's the worst case. Hopefully that'll be the worst case scenario. And I can live with that. That's fine. You know,
right,
it won't be the first time that I don't drink when I go somewhere.
I think the worst case scenario for me will be if the game's in Toronto.
Yeah, and that would be a better case scenario for me, but that's me being selfish.
By all means, you can feel that way.
Yeah, I'm saying it would be better for me.
I'm sure Johnny and
the wifey can pick me up. I can get hammered, and then the wifey can pick me up. All I have to do is find my way to the train, not the train tracks, the train, and basically be okay and head out. But regardless, I think we've spent enough time on this issue. It will be what it will be. It will be. And whatever it is, we'll deal with it. And I'll tell you something. As long as the game's played, the excitement will be there. Whether it's for 25,000 people or 18 or 16 is irrelevant. We'll all get a chance to see the game, thank goodness, for TSN. So if you can't get to the game, you'll be able to watch it on TSN, and TSN will do a bang-up job as usual, broadcasting a CFL game. Now,
this
also with
us tonight,
we haven't had a chance to say hello. And this is Mike Townsend. How's it going, Mike? He's there somewhere.
I can hear him.
You are here.
There's an echo in here. Okay. I'll turn Mike's mic off. So we don't get the feedback thing. All right. So anybody else want to comment on their opinion on the take of Tim Bitzfield?
No, I'm good. Bruce does it all when it comes to Tim Bitz.
But, you know, Tammy, does it remind you of Winnipeg? I mean, Winnipeg had the good fortune of having two stadiums, one being built and one already built and one they could play in while the other one was completed.
Doesn't remind me of Winnipeg.
No, because you guys already knew that you weren't going to...
But it wasn't built in the same place either.
Right. Well, that's why. That's why they could do that. You know, and that's the advantage.
Totally different problem.
Yeah. Was it a problem? What was the experience of your new stadium? They did push it an extra year, didn't they?
Well, they had some problems with their... Well, I was talking to Bob Irving at a practice, and he said, it's leaking everywhere.
Yeah, that was the big deal.
Yeah. So, but no, it was not a hassle like they've had in Hamilton. I wish it would go smoother for them because they're such a great football city.
Yeah, I know. It's terrible. It really is terrible. Okay, Mike's back. Let's see if we still have an echo. Hey, Mike, how's it going, bud? Mike? I hear a cat. And Mike's gone again. All right. Okay, let's move forward to last week's games. Something I'd rather not talk about, but what the heck, we'll do it anyway. So we had game one, Montreal-Winnipeg. Montreal kept it close, lost 24-16 to Winnipeg. Tammy, you want to jump in first? Tell us what you thought of the game as a Winnipeg fan.
Well, in general, it was a defensive game, wasn't it? I think the first half was horrific. I thought I was watching high school ball.
There you go.
It was horrible.
Why was it horrible specifically?
Well, the Bombers can't stop a rush, and they can't rush, but ironically enough, we had the lead rusher. How crazy is that?
Totally.
E-I-E-I-O.
It all works out that way sometimes.
I'm telling you. Well, I'm happy they won, but it should have been a far greater showing. They had a good rest. They got Nick Moore back. But I think Montreal's defense is strong.
They sure are.
They're an enviable defense. That's for sure.
They sure are. They sure are.
And Jonathan Crompton, I agree with Serge. Jonathan Crompton was impressive.
He sure was.
I don't know what the heck is the difference between Jonathan Crompton and Troy Smith, but Jonathan Crompton seemed to do a much better job. I think he threw for almost 300 yards.
Yeah, and oh, okay. Yeah, he... he looked a lot more calm. You know, it was, I think his demeanor was the best thing that he had going for him. What did you think, Serge, as a Montreal fan?
Well, I mean, I didn't expect a win for Montreal, either in Saskatchewan or in Winnipeg. I'm impressed that, you know, they kept it close, they kept it tight, and means I'm satisfied from the standpoint that, you know, this is a team that's trying to kind of, you know, find its way, and we're just fortunate that all the Eastern teams are struggling, so, you know, if there was ever a year to start 1-7, this is the year, so we're fortunate. That means I'm realistic. I can't necessarily expect Montreal to win every game, but the fact that they're in it, that they played right to the last 3 minutes, and then, you know, they keep shooting themselves in the foot somehow, but, you know, that's the best I can expect out of this team right now.
Yeah, it's you're 100% right. I mean, this is the right year, you know, to be playing like they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because whoever wins Friday will be second place. And so we'll be in the last playoff spot temporarily. So that's, I mean, you know, I'd tell anyone that you want to be a game back of first place, a half a game back second place on Labor Day. You know,
yeah.
No one's going to complain. But if you're going to say that, you know, oh, you're going to be 1-2-7 doing it, well, they'll probably put you in the loony bin. So.
Well, nobody could have predicted this. We all know. We all knew that there was improvement coming in Winnipeg and Edmonton. Did we know how much improvement? But were any of us aware that the whole CFL East would implode after all the conversations we had about what a good year it's going to be for an expansion team? There, you know, this is probably, and I'm saying this is what I said. This is going to be the greatest expansion team in CFL history. And, you know, when you look at the team by itself, Ottawa, you know, it's a pathetic expansion team. But then when you put it in the framework of the East Division, they're not that bad. You know, it's funny. It's ironic. It's crazy.
Yep.
All right, so how about you, Mr. Bruce John Inch? What did you think of... Oh, wait, hang on. Maybe I got Mike now. Mike, buddy, are you there?
Yeah. Yo, can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. I can call your home phone, eh?
Yeah, man, either or. I'm cool. It ain't going to charge. It's not going to charge me, so I'm good.
Oh, okay. You sure about that? Okay, good. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I just want to say what's going on, Bruce, Serge, everybody that's on. I don't know who's all on the show, but, you know, hello, everybody.
I'm good. Welcome.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Frank, real quick, man, I did my ALS ice water challenge today.
Did you? I got to do mine. I got to do mine. You know what? I want to do one, but I want it to be fun. So I'm trying to think of what way to do it, and I think I've come up with a way of doing it. And I'll try to get it tomorrow, but I'm going to need some help from my wife and maybe at least one of my kids.
Right, I feel you, man. My donations is not going to go to the ALS. I'm going to donate at least $200 to $300 worth of children's coats to coach the kids this year in my city. So I'm going to donate to my city, man. You know, there's a lot of unfortunate people here and kids that's going to go without coats for the winter. So that's where I'm going to put my donations.
Right.
Whatever way works. Let's remember that being charitable doesn't necessarily. It's not defined by what charity. Just any charity, right? Like when we go to church, right? We always give a little, right? For those of us that have a little to give. You know, these are tough times that we're in. I mean, economically, a lot of people are suffering. But, you know, the nice thing about people, it seems, especially people who have so little, they seem to have enough to give. And I applaud those people most of all. Sometimes
right,
I think they outdo the people who can afford to give more.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and, you know, if anybody know what goes on in my city, you know, Detroit has tough times, man. So, you know, why not donate to where I'm from?
No, that's cool. You know, charity begins at home, right?
There you go. All right. What football games are we talking about here? Because I heard a little bit of the Montreal.
Well, we just started. We just started. You didn't miss anything.
Okay.
We were just
make sure I didn't miss
what anything. We did. What you did miss was a quick review. Timbits Field may or may not open. And the game, there's a bunch of, to review. For those of you that just joined us, thanks to Bruce John Inch. The hope is that on Monday at 1 o'clock, a game will be played in Hamilton at the new Timbits Field. If that doesn't work and they miss by a little bit, and let's say by Tuesday they can do the same thing at Tuesday, I guess, at a 7 or 7:30 start, they'll have the game at Timbits Field. If it's not ready by Tuesday, that could very well mean that the home game that the Hamilton Tiger Cats have on their schedule will be played in the home of the Toronto Argonauts, the team that they'll be playing at the Rogers Centre. That's where we're at with Timbits Field. So you're caught up. And we just started talking about the Winnipeg Blue Bombers game against the Montreal Alouettes. And we heard from Serge, and we heard from Tammy. And we might as well hear from you at this point. What do you think of the game between the Montreal Alouettes, who lost 24-16 to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in Winnipeg?
Well, I did watch the game, and, you know, Montreal is improving. But Jonathan Crumpton, man, that guy played well.
You know, absolutely.
You know, everybody, you know, Allen's Brink. I mean, right now you got to find somebody that's going to come in there and spark the team. Even though Montreal did lose, I mean, hey, man, they're improving week by week. And if they can get their offense to play the way they did against Winnipeg but score more points, they can put a couple more wins on the board. I mean, you got to think, man, they were.
That's all you need to make
six.
The playoffs in the East.
Yeah, right. You know what I'm saying?
That's all you're worried
and
about.
If they can put in a couple of good games and put some W's on the board, man, and, you know, that'll go ahead and pick up their morale a little bit to get a couple of W's, man, I mean, they could still be a dangerous team. Just get out there and just play. I mean, you have nothing to lose right now, so, you know, the pressure's not on them. The pressure's been off of them when they lost their last four games. So
yeah.
Just go out there and play.
There's pressure, but the kind of pressure there is isn't the kind of pressure you feel during game time. It's before the game. I think the heaviest pressure
right.
when you're losing is before the game. I think it's almost a relief to be on the field, right, guys? I mean, when you're crapping the bed, it's listening to reporters and going into the film room and listening to the coaches and you know, all that wonderful stuff. But once, you know, the game starts, it's a new sheet. It's a new piece of paper. You get to write the story the way, you know, you want it to be. You get another chance to write the story the way you want it to end. So, you know, I think Montreal's in a good place. I think Toronto's in a good place. I think Ottawa's in a good place, and especially Hamilton's in a good place. The Eastern Division teams are playing awful. There's no doubt about it. They're way behind everybody. Forget the excuses. It doesn't matter. What matters is we're now at Labor Day, and as Bruce John Inch will tell you, this is when the season starts. Everything that happened before today could be meaningless.
Right.
Except to the Bombers.
Well, that's because you're a Bomber fan.
No, that's because we only won three games last year, so it's already a win-win for us.
Okay. Well, you know, the only thing I don't like about the Bombers name is sometimes it can be used, if you guys bomb.
The Bombers?
Well,
the Bombers?
No, I didn't say the Bombers. That's another one. When you guys bomb, it may not be good. When you bomb, it may not be good.
Right.
Correct.
How about you, Kelly? What did you think of the Winnipeg Montreal game?
I enjoyed it for the most part. I felt a little bad for Winnipeg, but it's pretty easy to look average against that Montreal defense.
It is.
You know,
you're
but.
Right.
Winnipeg's got that same type of smothering defense another 2 weeks in a row here against the Riders. And, you know, let's say they somehow, you know, build off of this win and come in and beat the Riders at Mosaic. I cannot see them winning yet another game after that. So, you know, for Winnipeg, I think it was a timely win. I think they're going to have a setback here for a little bit, and Saskatchewan's going to do some work on them. But anyway, Montreal played amazing. What can you say about Mike Edom? Like, anybody who was saying anything about Shea Emery is now just eating their words, right? This guy is amazing, continues to amaze me. Really love this Montreal defense. Can't get enough of it. Just, I love watching it. It's really amazing defense.
Well, it was said at the beginning of the season that Shea Emery was in Toronto not so much because he wanted to move, but that Montreal didn't need him anymore. Some on this program intimated that as well. And so the fact that Edom is doing such a bang-up job in Montreal at linebacker, I don't think surprises anyone on this program.
Yeah. Amazing.
The next game we get to talk about is one that took place in Edmonton. Well, I didn't get to talk about the Montreal-Winnipeg game.
Neither did I.
Sorry, Bruce. Then you go ahead, buddy. You go ahead.
I just got to say I'm glad Winnipeg won. And what's going on with Chad Johnson? I haven't seen
Chad
him.
Chad Owens.
He's back.
No, Chad Johnson.
No,
yeah,
Chad Johnson.
Yeah, Ochocinco.
He's back on the practice field today.
Oh, okay.
Why? What was wrong with him?
Oh, he had a concussion issue.
Bell rung. He had his bell rung. Don't you remember?
No, I don't.
The only thing I saw him
do was that. Really, I never knew that. No.
Oh,
yeah,
the first
he
one
got hit a couple
beat,
times.
Beat around his head.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
He got hit helmet to helmet.
Real hard.
Okay.
Real hard.
Oh,
in a crossing pattern.
Oh, really? No, I never knew that. Okay, then answers my question. But yeah, I'm glad Winnipeg won. It keeps. Keeps us in second place.
I like to call what the position he was playing and the run and the pattern that he was doing is Death Valley.
Ocho?
Yeah, that crossing pattern is. There's only a few players that it's a Dressler thing. In Montreal, you had some great receivers. Dalla Riva could do that. You get the guys that are running against the grain and make the catch in spite of the dangers in making the catch.
You know, key in the best quarterbacks, they know how to throw that ball real low so that the player is almost simultaneously hitting the ground as he's catching the ball.
And that's what happens.
And that's
to happen.
Where you see a lot of these fingertip catches often happen on that short crosser. And, I mean, if it's not nice and low like that, that's a dangerous pass with a ball-hawking linebacker.
Especially
right.
if
you
have
what?
To leave your feet. Especially if you have
right.
to leave your feet to catch the ball.
And I don't know who decided to put him at the slot back to put him to go across the middle. I don't know who idea that was, but it was really a bad one because that hit was really hard. I mean, he got crunched between two linebackers. I think a defensive
and
back
and
a linebacker.
And Mike, he'd be a big target.
Yeah, he is a big target all season. Everybody waiting to ring that bell. You know what I'm saying?
Everything
so,
comes down to Ryan Dinwiddie on Montreal.
right. So I hope Ryan Dinwiddie keep him on either end on each side of each end, man. No, don't put him back across the middle. That'd be bad news.
No, I think they learned their lesson, right?
Yeah, they really did.
Yep.
I sure hope so.
And I tell you, I've been waiting. This is the third week, man. I've been waiting for my Chad Johnson jersey to come in the mail. It still hasn't made it yet. So I still got a couple more weeks to go, as CFL Shop says.
Well, hopefully he'll still be an Alouette when you get the jersey.
I hope so. You know, if not, then I frame it up and put it on the wall, man. You know, keepsake.
There you go. That's all that matters. So that leaves us, I guess, Tammy talked about that game. No, nobody else has talked about the game. I finished talking about Montreal and Winnipeg. And now I'll start the Toronto-Edmonton game. Very disappointing. Oops, she hung up. Trying to call Tammy. She bailed. Well, I don't know whether she did it or the show did it. Toronto Argonauts, they cannot stop the ground attack of any team, it seems. Whether it be running back, whether it be, punt return, kickoff return, field goal, missed return. They cannot stop the run. I think maybe that their defense is overly aggressive, and because of that, if a defensive player misses his assignment, it leaves the running back or the punt returner, kick returner, field goal returner, a missed field goal returner, an opportunity to run the ball a very long distance, as we've witnessed in the past two games. This is of a concern to me as an Argo fan, and I hope that the brain trust that is the Toronto Argonauts management team, I hope they can figure it out. On the other hand, Edmonton has been the most consistent team in the league, and I was happy to see Mr. Nichols at the helm. Not that Riley got hurt on the first play, but that Nichols showed what I believed in him back to 2 years ago. When I saw him get hurt here in Toronto in the Eastern semifinal, the last time a Western team crossed over, which is going to happen this year, he was incredible. If he had survived and not been injured, I don't know that Toronto would have won the Grey Cup. I really don't know that. He was full value for his ability, and I think he's a great quarterback, and that's the kind of guy maybe if the Argos could pry him loose to pick up where our friend Ricky Ray leaves off, he would be a great, great addition to the Argos. I'm really impressed with Mr. Nichols. He's a great quarterback. And Edmonton was full value for the victory. Toronto never really had a chance. Yeah, they made a comeback, but you don't dig that big a hole and expect to win. And if you dig that big a hole, you deserve to lose. But I haven't lost any faith in my team. My team will be fine. Hopefully management will, you know, make some tweaks and make sure that this running attack of the opposition doesn't continue to expose a major weakness in the Argos' coverage. Oh, God. But anyway, hopefully that'll be the case. Kelly, what did you think of the Toronto-Edmonton game?
I didn't see all of it, but did see the end, and wasn't really pleased with the result. I was hoping Toronto could come back and beat the Eskimos, but yeah, I was kind of shocked because I had tuned in late and saw Nichols in the game and was just shocked, you know, like, where is Ray kind of thing. So I went online right away and found out that he had been injured on the first play, and that's not good news for Edmonton, and I don't know how serious that is. I haven't really heard much about it. Sounds like they're keeping it pretty close to home.
His thumb. It looked like his thumb.
Yeah, it's the same as Durant, really.
I actually forgot, but I'll remember it. I would have got you.
There you go. Okay, how about you, Serge? What did you think of that game? Did you get a chance to watch that game?
I was busing back from New York City from my trip to Yankee Stadium. So, like Bruce said, I'm just happy they won to keep the East. That Edmonton won. The Argos lost just so they keep the East nice and tight, so that half the season ticket holders of the Red Blacks don't bail out, and the Owls fans have something to cheer for. So.
Ouch.
Ouch, yeah.
How about you, Bruce?
Oski Wee Wee, sorry. Hello?
Yeah, Bruce, go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, Bruce, go ahead.
Oh, yes, sorry about that. Yeah, oh, no, I'm quite pleased that you guys lost. But, I kind of feel bad for Ricky in a way. You know, he's better than what he's doing, but, you know, you got to make the plays, man. It's not what, you know, but on a good note, I read today that Dressler was released by Kansas City, and he might be coming your way if the money
Toronto?
Is right. If the money is right, he might come your way. There's not a guarantee he'll go back to Saskatchewan.
Well, I said that all along, that it's not a guarantee that he goes to Saskatchewan.
But, yeah, and...
Well, the injuries have helped the Argo cap a little bit. So, you know, they might be able to afford to bring him in. He'd be a nice fit. I would like him.
Yeah, I don't know. What do you mean, the cap? How does that work? They don't have... You mean they don't pay Chad Owens if he's not playing?
Well,
how does that work?
Well, I don't know how it is. You know what? I'm not sure in football, but in hockey, the insurance takes over.
Okay.
You know, like when a player gets injured, they're insured against injury, right? So
they're
now that money
like compensation.
Right. And what happens is, I'm not sure if in the CFL, you know, I've made an assumption, and I'm glad you called me on it. You know, basically, when a player gets injured, you're not paying his salary. Insurance is.
Okay.
And because in some leagues, and I'm not sure in the CFL, I'm beginning to wonder. I'm asking myself that question. When a player gets injured, can you substitute his contract with another contract? In other words, let's say Ricky Ray was out for the season. Can they spend the money they would have paid on Ray that insurance is picking up on another player? You know, I'm not 100% sure how that works.
If they put him on the six game, that's why there's the six game injury list.
Right. It's a financial. It's a financial thing that helps you with the cap, right?
Right. Exactly. But you
there
can
you
only
go.
Have
okay,
so many guys
there you
on
go,
the
Bruce.
Six game.
Makes me wonder why we haven't brought anybody in then.
Well,
you
know, that's why
Austin
I'm not
seems
sure.
Austin
seems
confident in Mazzoli and the other guys.
And if I could just say one thing quickly on Dressler, since it was brought up, we might not talk about it again. So I wouldn't, ask a guy in Victoria, B.C. what the fishing's like off the coast of Newfoundland. So I think everybody should listen to me and listen to me this time and don't ask again. Dressler's coming back here. Like, there's nobody here that would say anything otherwise, and I can say that with 100% confidence. We know what the deal is, and you just trust us on this one. If he comes back to the CFL, he'll be wearing green, guys.
All right, I hope you're ready. I'd rather you have him than Toronto.
Is he a Saskatchewan boy?
Who? Dressler?
He's from North Dakota.
Yeah.
He's from North Dakota, which is just south of the border. His parents and his brother have tickets. And, he's got a girlfriend here that he's anxious to start a life with. And, there's just
so many factors,
including money. We just realized that we're not going to sign Corey Sheets this season. There's some extra money off the table that we'd been putting aside, as many rumors have speculated.
Brandon also got hurt, didn't he?
Yeah. Great. And that we should touch on, too, when Frank's talking about insurance. Corey Sheets is now set for life, guys, and that's one thing that I'm very happy to say for him, in light of this horrible, horrible, in-life tragedy that's occurred to him on his way back to what could have been a multi-year deal with the Raiders.
Expand on what you're saying.
Well, basically, he gets his salary guaranteed this year, right? And he also gets insurance money from the players' union. So he's going to be entitled to, I'm not exactly sure, but somewhere in the neighborhood of, 80% of his salary for whatever the years they would calculate he could possibly play for. You know what I mean?
But is he injured?
Is a
career-ending injury? Is that what we're saying?
Well, essentially, yes. This is being looked at as something that, a running back doesn't often come back from an Achilles injury. It's just one of those things where you need your Achilles to plant and make those cuts, right? This is extreme adverse effect on his mainstream of income, right?
Right.
So his ability to earn. Like I say, right, he's pretty much set for life, guys, as far as insurance goes and stuff like that. I mean, you'd have to talk to him, and I'm sure he's going to be working in the oil patch in southern Saskatchewan pretty soon anyways, because he's also got a life here outside of football.
Okay. We've been a little bit sidelined by Bruce. Thank you, Bruce, for sidelining us. Toronto Argonauts. It's all right. Toronto Argonauts, Edmonton Eskimos. Serge, you already said your 2 cents about the game. Okay. So let's move on to the next game, and that's the Calgary Stampeders against the Ottawa Redblacks. And, you know, I just realized our buddy Storm wasn't here. All right. On his behalf, I guess, what else do you expect with Calgary winning?
I didn't expect them to win that much.
Yeah, well, they didn't really do that much. They did, in the last 4 minutes, that's when they did it.
They still did it. I know, but it was like, wow. I don't know. I thought Ottawa would be better, you know, but then again, I thought we'd be better. So. Hello?
It's true.
Okay, I am on. Oh, yeah, it is, you know. I thought they'd be better, but, you know, I feel bad for Henry Burris, man. He's getting booed off his own field. You know, I don't think we ever booed him. But, you know, it's not, I feel bad for him. It's not looking good. I think he's had, what, no touchdowns in the last three games. He's thrown 5 interceptions in the last 3 games. You know, I feel bad for him because, I still have high regard for Henry when he was playing here. He's one of the most personable players I've ever met that's put on the uniform. And, you know, and I hear the same about him over in Ottawa. And then he got fans booing him. Like, come on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and Calgary, too.
That's bad when people boo. I don't know. Especially your own team, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I think we're the only two on.
No, I'm here.
Oh, you're here. Okay, you just took a break. Pouring yourself a glass of wine.
No.
No? No wine? But,
zone.
But, you know, on the same hand, though, if we're still talking about Ottawa, I'm glad they lost, dude. Keep the East close, you know. But what are you going to do? I hope they win against Montreal this week. I really do. Because I know the Ticats will win, so we'll still be tied for second. No, we'll be in second because you guys, Ottawa has one less, but they have another bye coming to them. And that's another thing I didn't like. We got both byes in the first 9 weeks. That's kind of BS, but...
Well, I'm getting tired of the Argos playing bye teams.
What do you mean? Oh, are you okay? You think that helps, though? You think being off a week would...
Absolutely it does. Football is the most... physically demanding sport at all, completely.
Well, I think hockey is, but we won't go there.
No, I don't think so.
I do. They play more games, man. They hit just as hard into those boards. But anyway, this is CFL. Who cares about NHL? But, yeah, we'll stick with what you say. True, man. They take a beating, you know, and then they got a week to rest up. Like, from what I've heard, CJ, he's still not going to be ready for Labor Day, so he'll be out. But, yeah, I'm glad Ottawa lost. You can go on to the next guy on that game, if you like.
Absolutely. How about you? You were halfway in here already, Kelly.
Yeah, I thought it was a great game. I really enjoyed watching this one. Yeah, the outcome, you know, not great for me. But at the same, like, I believe in the CFL is pool. I went the other way on this one. didn't do so well this week. I think I was 2-2. But last week, want to give myself a huge shout-out for being 5-0.
Wait, on.
That was fun. Yeah, myself a huge shout-out. That's, what, the equivalent of giving yourself a like on Facebook?
Yeah.
Yeah, anyways. Just like I had feared, this one turned out not too good for me. But, you know, hopefully, like Bruce says, hopefully Ottawa can get off the schneid next week and do something about their so far dismal season, because this is turning into a bit of a train wreck for them. I mean, what could you say in logging terms? I don't know. A log jam?
Upriver?
Their
logs
are
going upriver?
Exactly. Like, that's what I'm seeing here, because, you know, if they can't put a few together in the East, they're going to go down as worse than the Renegades, and that would be an honor you don't want.
Well, you know, for many of us, we were sold on the fact by what you know, the way the picking went, you know, in the draft, that it looked like, you know, Ottawa was getting a decent opportunity.
For sure.
So what
did,
happens
did.
Now?
And, you know, another thing to say about this game, guys, how about those colors on the field? Oh, that was awful.
Oh, Calgary, they were horrible.
Red,
I
white,
thought they were
black helmet.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It was terrible. Just terrible. Oh, CFL has to do something about that. Ugh.
Well,
but you know what? I think with the Richter being the Red Blacks' first season, they might go through a jersey change, man, with the next couple of seasons. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. For sure.
I think they're gonna go through another color change. You know, they're gonna put something together. But you know, first year, you know what I'm saying, they trying to get the name out and get the team out. So it's gonna be a color change with the uniforms, man, pretty soon. I mean, the color was kind of bad on the field this week. It was rough.
Yeah, you could say that the signature series is a bit of a forgery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, it was. Peg jerseys, man.
I think they were bad.
Who was that?
They weren't bad,
but I think it was Kelly, if I'm not mistaken, that did the last show. Let's give Under Armour a chance, man, to come up with some jerseys and see what they come up with. Because if Reebok did that,
yeah,
that was bad on Reebok.
But Ticats release their jersey tomorrow, and whoever was on my Ticat wall, they got like a flipogram video, and it looks pretty cool, man. Like, you can tell it's going to be black and gray, black and silver, whatever you want to call it, with the numbers are going to be gold. It's good. It looks nice, man, from what I can see of it. But
great.
I'll be getting one.
How about that Alouettes jersey? It's looking great, I think.
I like the helmet. I like the helmet. That looks sick.
That's mm-hmm. beautiful.
And you know,
sure,
Toronto's didn't
on the shoulders.
Yeah, Toronto's uniform didn't look bad either. I like that blue. That blue or whatever.
I love that blue.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, it was pretty good. I like that uniform. I mean,
baby
Reebok,
blue.
What they did with you, some teams were a hit and some teams was a miss. I'm not going to really say that they really did a bad job on the uniform. Some were okay. Some were, you know, wasn't so okay. You know. So it's kind of a hit and miss with uniforms.
But you know what? The Argonauts, on the subject of uniforms, and we still haven't finished talking about the football game, but the Argonauts promotion is about the superheroes. And there's more of a superhero, Superman kind of look to their uniform. And I don't think that was an accident. And that's all, you know, that the big A is like the big S on the Superman. You know what I'm saying? And it's what they're going for, right? It's what they were going for. And, in fact, in Winnipeg, they did the same thing. So it's like, you know, more of a superhero thing, a Marvel kind of thing that you're looking at, you know. You remember, you know, they're not trying to, and I'm not complaining here with Reebok, and I'm not complaining with the CFL, but they're really not interested in us. They're trying to get the younger folk, you know. They're trying to get their attention.
And
they're
yeah,
basically.
That's what all those sports.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, so the uniforms may look kind of silly to us 40-plussers, but to the 18, 19, 20-year-olds, maybe they're looking at it going, wow, that looks just like the game I just bought. You know what I mean?
I actually like Winnipeg's helmet, but I just don't like their jersey. I like their helmet. I just don't. They look too much like Toronto if they didn't have that W there. They looked at, you know.
Exactly. Exactly.
But I love their helmet. I like, you know, nothing. I'd like to buy one, but. I'm not going to throw $400 away. But, can I take 2 minutes of the show's time and play you quickly? So I paused my TV, and they're discussing the stadium.
Oh, okay.
And you don't mind, Frank?
Nope.
Okay, man, here we go then.
Another update?
We are very confident that we will be open for Labor Day, 1 o'clock. Gates open at 11.
It was all smiles and good news at a press conference held at Ticats head office today. Team owner Bob Young insisting that the Labor Day Classic is a go and it will be at the new Tim Hortons Field.
Failure is not an option. We are determined to play Labor Day at Tim Hortons Field.
But CHCH News has learned that behind the scenes, management is preparing a backup plan. The team has confirmed if Tim Hortons Field is not ready, the game will be played in Toronto at the Rogers Centre on September 2nd. But Bob Young dodged any questions about a backup plan.
I have no interest in discussing backup plans because we are committed.
Mayor Bob Bertina also brushed off questions about any contingency plans.
Failure is not an option, and September 2nd isn't an option.
The stadium was to be ready for the team's home opener on July 26th. Young also announced that the Ticats organization is next.
Okay, and the rest is about the concert that they're going to be having.
Oh, good update. Good update, Bruce.
Well, who's it going to be?
No, I said good update.
Well, I knew I was going to come on CH, and I had to go, but I wanted to wait until this came on so everybody knows exactly word for word what Bob Young said, so I'm not putting words in his mouth, you know.
Now, for those of you that don't know, Bob Bertina started as the Hamilton Tiger Cats play-by-play guy and then became the Toronto Argonauts play-by-play guy. So this guy understands and cares about the game of football.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and then I never knew that until you told me that at the Ticat deal we went to, the Cats Claws thing.
Yeah,
I never knew that.
Yep, and I had a chance to catch up with him because 25 years ago I was doing TV, and I got to know him a little bit, not much. But regardless, anyway, he loves the game of football, and he's a supporter of football, and he's happy as anybody that Timbits Field is in existence. And my hope is that the game will be played in Hamilton. My biggest hope is that it'll be played on Monday, so I'll get to meet Serge, and I'll be able to give him his calendar, because I know he's looking forward to his calendar.
Another thing about Bob DeMeo is he'll go down as the mayo that actually got Timbit Field underway, because before that it was Fred Cheeseburger, and he didn't do anything. But that's another thing that he can put on his resume.
There you go. I think Bob.
But, okay, guys, I have to leave, like I said, but I just wanted to wait until this came on so everybody knows what's going on. So I'd like to wish everybody a good night now, and I will talk to everybody on Wednesday. And Mike, you drive safe if you're out on the road, and Kelly, have a great couple days, and Storm, you're not, if you're listening, have a great day.
You too, bud.
Whoever else I missed, who else did I miss? Serge. Sorry,
Mike.
Buddy.
I'm going to go, too. I got to get to work tomorrow morning, so.
There you go.
That was fine.
Okay, guys, well, have an Oski wee-wee, and I'll listen to the rest of the show when I get back in.
Serge, do you want to talk about the Calgary-Ottawa game?
Same old. Just glad Ottawa lost and hope they lose again Friday.
And I don't want you to go before we talk about BC and Saskatchewan. Who hasn't spoken about the Ottawa-Calgary game? That would be you, Kelly. Okay, so let's go to Saskatchewan-BC Lions. It was a game that saw BC hang in there for a while, but Saskatchewan pulled it out late. This is the game that everybody was anticipating. This is the game that everybody couldn't wait to happen. It didn't quite play out the way BC fans had hoped and or management. There's now a free ticket to everybody who bought a ticket for that game in the future. So that's a good thing if you're a BC fan. You get another ticket to another game, but you have to put up with a loss. Kelly, I'm sure you have an opinion on this game.
Oh, for sure. It was a great game. Riders came out on top. That's the most important thing for me. A lot of what I've been hearing today and last night is good teams, championship teams, find ways to win. This is what happened, and it was great defense against great defense. I was a little bit excited that Cinceri fared well in his time. Then I want to talk about the guarantee, and I don't really think it was bad marketing or bad business. I calculated it at $50 a ticket, they have the potential, or they've lost $1.8 million in potential income, but you have to think they gain all that merchandising at the stadium, they gain the concessions at the stadium, the beer sales. I don't know if you guys know much about consumerism, but you know, if people don't have to put out for a ticket, they're going to bring a lot of cash with them. You know what I'm saying? So this is going to be a boon for BC. And, you know, it's not that stupid in the end, if you think about it, because I really think, if those tickets really were $50, I think everybody's going to drop that anyways that day.
It's not just that. The other thing you can say, you said advertising, and that's really what it's going to be. I mean, the people who are getting tickets already bought a ticket. The people who are getting an extra ticket are going to have a ticket to give to somebody who may or may not have intended on going to a game at all this year. So it's a one-shot deal for advertising as well to give people an opportunity to check it out.
Exactly. Yeah,
and for the fans.
You got it, man.
You know.
Yep.
So it's not that bad.
You got it.
And let's finally discuss the okay, Serge, what did you think of the Saskatchewan-BC game?
Well, BC lost at home to a backup. I don't know. That wasn't too well. You know, Chris said that BC still won the season series, for what that's worth. But I don't know. I think Skalski just opened his big fat mouth and got his foot firmly planted in it. So he can suck on it, as far as I'm concerned.
There you go.
Yep. I mean, you don't guarantee win when your team is 5-3. I don't know. You don't do that. You just jinx your team. You know.
Anyway. Uh-huh. That's my sentiment with the talk about the Western teams that want to play the Eastern team in the first playoff game. You're looking for trouble by saying that.
Of course.
But they feel the East is weak. So that gives them, the belief that they can.
I'm not sure 9 wins will be enough to make the playoffs in the West.
I know. Uh-huh. It'll mean, well, 9 wins will get you in the crossover.
No, I'm not even sure. You might need 10 wins to cross over. 7 wins might be enough to win the East. So.
Well, that's what I said. 2-3 games in.
Yeah.
You know, it may very well be. But it'll be interesting regardless. You know, it's all about making the playoffs. It's all about winning 3 games. That's all it's about. You can go into – it's happened before. You know, we've had teams that have won 7 games and won the Grey Cup. And they weren't in the East. You know, so why can't it happen again? It's just as likely as a team that's 14-4 winning the Grey Cup. All right, well, you know what? It's a busy night tonight. Thank you so much, Serge. I know you got a busy day tomorrow. You got to go to work and all that kind of stuff. Thanks for taking the time to be on the program.
Thanks for having me, and hopefully.
My pleasure. And I look forward to seeing you in Hamilton on
Monday. Yeah, hopefully. What, you're going to be at a tailgate or something? It's got to find.
Well, we'll see. We'll stay in touch.
Argo fans will be gathered. Look for the blue. Big blue.
Nice hearing you, Serge.
Right. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Well, Kelly, it's just me and you.
Yep. Yeah, we pretty much hashed her out. Like, I mean, I don't know if you had a chance to speak on that Saskatchewan game, did you?
Yeah. I think it was a... Well, I did.
Yeah.
BC
no,
fell
I,
short.
I recall now. Right.
BC fell short.
Yeah, no.
And Saskatchewan was full value
for
the victory.
That's what it was. Yeah, that's what it was, more than Saskatchewan stepping forward and saying, like, hey, we're the victors. It was more of BC kind of taking a couple timely penalties and giving up a couple big plays, and that was the difference. Did you see that one that Rob Bagg dropped, though, down the sideline? And then how about that, like, hyper-athletic catch by our offensive lineman there for his second touchdown of his career?
Had trouble making it into the end zone.
He made a twisting catch, basically like Tony Champion-esque in the end zone. It was pretty awesome.
Well, they deserved it.
For sure. Yeah, so where was Manasse tonight? Because he really brought it last time, and I was excited thinking that he might be on tonight. I guess he's working though, eh?
Yeah. But that's okay. We do this show twice a week, every week. There's going to be nights when people are available and nights when they're not available. Nobody gets paid here, so, you know, there's no commitment necessary. So, you know, but one thing I'm grateful for is the people who do show up. We missed Storm tonight. Storm wasn't on tonight. Don't know why. Busy,
yeah.
I guess. And Christopher was at the airport. So, well, good news is it makes
right.
it for a short night, which means I get to get a decent night's sleep tonight before I wake up tomorrow.
Exactly, yeah. And show 204 is a success.
Yeah. Give Davey a big hug for me.
Oh, I will, for sure.
All right, and you take care. How's your sweetie anyway? Was it Natalie was her name? What was her name?
Who's Natalie?
No. What's her name?
She's listening.
I don't remember her name.
Me. Dawn.
Dawn, thank you. D-A-W-N. No, who's Natalie? Who's Natalie? The dummy couldn't remember your name.
She's going to think I'm cheating on her.
You mean she's going to know you're... No, never mind. I'll hang up the phone now. Leave you.
All right.
No, no, Don. My apologies. I forgot your name. There is no Natalie. Well, there is a Natalie somewhere.
I'll get you back later.
There you go.
I'll get you back later.
I know you will.
All right.
All right. See you guys later.
Take care, Frank. And we'll talk to you on Wednesday, bud.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
We finally get an early night tonight with all the long nights we've had this year. Kind of looking forward to this. Get a decent night's sleep. We'll see on Wednesday. On Wednesday, we'll preview the games for Week 10. And that's right. We're past the midway point of the season. And the games this week are the second half of the season. And they also happen to be Labor Day. Labor Day is a great day for many of the teams. An opportunity to renew acquaintances and re-spark old rivalries. And, of course, the biggest one that I'm involved in, of course, is the Hamilton-Toronto rivalry. This year, not only are we not sure how the Argos will do this year, or Hamilton for that matter, we're not sure where it's going to be played. It could be played on Monday in Hamilton or Tuesday in Hamilton or Tuesday in Toronto, the Rogers Centre. Stay tuned. This is like, you know, where's Waldo? Where's the game? That's what's going to happen this week. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. You've been listening to Candid Frank Live, and this, of course, is the CFL is the best football in the world show. We hope you enjoyed 203 as much as, or sorry, 204 as much as we've been in bringing it to you. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you on Wednesday, 10 p.m. to 12 a.m., Mondays, Wednesdays, the Candid Frank Live show. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. Bye.